All right, and I will probably touch base with both Laverne and, yeah, there's people on the stack, I know, but I will probably touch base with Laverne and Arlene a little about the old policy and what we've been doing since and so on. So we'll bring that into the conversation, Marcus. Yeah, about what we're going to do going forward.
Okay, one other point I had.
Yeah.
Oh, on getting the financials on the websites of each one of the stations and on the Pacifica National, that's also a result of there's a little note in our audit where the auditor said we were not doing that or that was not been done, and Otis and worked on that really hard for me to get that so that we could get all the financials each month when it comes out. Just put it up on the website, and Ali Lexa really works well with us on that. So that's the impetus, is that the information is there. You know, our Paul is the keeper of it, but there was this note on our audit, which was totally untrue. So we're putting it on these sites so it can be shown that it's there.
Okay,
thanks.
Well, KPFK doesn't have one.
Kim, wait to be called on. Come on. There was somebody on the stack. I forgot who. Who did I just throw off the stack?
Our Paul, maybe.
I think it was you.
Yeah.
Our Paul, then we'll go to Kim.
All right. In terms of this type of topic, I think the payroll part is actually probably the easiest one of them all because, you know, staff in general don't want to tell the world. I've gone on about why in the past, and we'll do that again. But there are other areas where it's, gee, I could see one side and I could see the other. I could sort of see both sides. And, you know, if you look at it one way, you know, it looks like this. And the other way, it looks the other way. You know, for instance, we have, for instance, people at WBAI on our finance committee who are not on the LSP and who are on the finance committee who have been pushing for years to be allowed to be in executive sessions. And, you know, they want to know absolutely everything, including the salaries. And, this comes up at our meetings kind of frequently. And then there are people who want to know a whole bunch of other stuff. And some of the things the committee, for instance, or individual members of the committee want to know is perfectly valid. And some of the stuff is probably something that is not a good idea to release to the general public, and especially to a committee that has, shall we say, a variance of perceived capacity for responsibility in this area among individuals. And so you have that. You've also got a thing of sometimes getting information gets into the personal. And, for instance, if a person from management feels that they're being disrespected by a committee or some individual or a couple of individuals.
Paul, hold on a moment. Yeah. Point of personal privilege, somebody in the background, please mute. Huge amount of noise. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. If the management or somebody feels they're being disrespected by the committee or by an individual or a couple of individuals, they may just become incommunicative in general because of the personal matter. And it might not be that they're saying, well, nobody can have the information. It may just be, well, I'm not talking to you. So that can also be a thing. And I think when we look at this, we have to look at it like overall and maybe play some devil's advocate stuff on here to really come to an understanding of how we should do this and what should be out there so that when we make a rule, we, on the one hand, make it so that management really does have to let out proper information, and on the other hand, make it so that getting the proper information doesn't become a bludgeon to hammer people over the head with on a personal basis that really has nothing to do with the information. So
yeah.
We got to watch it.
Absolutely. All right, before we go on to Kim, whoever is not muting and clomping around in the world, please stop it. You are driving us all crazy. Okay, Kim, you're next.
Oh, I was just wanted to ask, I mean, should KPFK be on the web? Because if Allie helped you guys up at KPFA, I could certainly ask him to get us up on the web.
I don't understand what you just what did you just say?
I'm asking if KPFK's financials should be on the web as well.
Yes, they should be.
Okay. Well, since Allie helped you guys, maybe he can help us.
He didn't help us. No. We accomplished that all by ourselves. It was not easy, but we did. Over many years.
Somebody mentioned Allie Lex's name.
No, hi, this is LaVarne.
Yes, LaVarne, what are you interrupting? What are you doing?
No, I don't interrupt.
I was trying to confirm Kim's question.
Okay, what's the answer to the question then?
Allie had helped us with a couple of little things, so maybe that's not the one that he helped us with. But I have another point of information to ask, actually.
Okay. Well, all right. Let's just try to have some order, which is, I don't know that your webmaster had anything to do with our financial statements being posted. I know that it was difficult at KBFA to get them posted for a substantial amount of time. Now it seems like they go up fairly regularly. And yes, I would think that should be the case at KPFK as well. What actually happened is they started being posted elsewhere on open publishing sites, and then the station found a way to accommodate it happening on kpfa.org. Kim, why don't you finish, then we'll go to LaVarne's point of information.
No, I'm done. I'm done.
Okay, LaVarne.
Okay, the point of information is, if our poll of you know, what are the requirements to be on the Finance Committee for WBAI? Can you please repeat that? I'm not sure if I heard you this time, but if you could let us all know.
All right.
What?
May I reply?
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Basically, you have to show up at 3 meetings in a row.
Thank you. That's just to bolster our poll's argument that he made, that if you are anyone and you walk in off the street and you show up for 3 meetings at the WBAI Finance Committee, then you're a member of the committee and that person feels entitled to seeing all the information, personal, salary, everything else of anyone in this foundation.
Ken to the stack.
Yes, Mark, Ken.
I, you know, in a lot of our discussions, people use binary logic, like you're either having chocolate or vanilla. This is, we're talking about developing a policy that has gradient privileges and rights
mm-hmm.
to different people in different situations.
Yes.
So because we don't open the door and say anybody who's walking down the street, we say, hey, come on over here and take a look at our salary, our payroll.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to do is provide the greatest degree of transparency of our finances in accordance with an adequate degree of confidentiality and security on privileged information. We want to address that issue, not just be in fear of it and have it lead us to secrecy, which is the same. And now I'm going to start sounding political. It's the same game
mm-hmm.
that the government plays. You know nothing. We know everything. We can't do that. We have to reveal as much information as possible while retaining a reasonable and appropriate amount of confidentiality of the financial data, as required in the bylaws and the normal operation of any nonprofit. So it's not So I'm just saying that I concur with exactly what the CFO said. There may be considerations about what information is made available to non-LSD members of the Finance Committee, but we should address it, that's all, just address it, and not try to say nobody can know anything except for the 3 people who go out to lunch with each other and play pinochle. You know, we have to address this and make a reasonable policy that will extend beyond the current situation that we're in now, with our current factions. 2 years,
right.
It'll be a different set of players.
let's set some policy for it.
Agreed. Marcus, you're next.
Two quick points. One, we have no, just FYI, we have no non-LSB members on our finance committee. Two, I just wanted to be clear on the posting of financial data. I think the CFO indicated that it was in the audit letter that the up-to-date financial data should be posted on each individual station's webpage. Is that the mandate?
Madam Chair, may I answer?
Okay.
No, that's not what he said. He said that we were not producing financial results. That's what he said. No, it had nothing to do with posting. That was a decision that we individually, by station and as a foundation, have made to try to post quarterly statements and what we'll do monthly on the website
okay.
for the foundation.
All right. I would like to start wrapping this up. Is there anyone else with a pressing need to discuss anything? Because all that we've agreed to do is try to draft a policy. There is still much more discussion to come. So can we possibly move the agenda? Okay. That will take us into the Texas error that was being described to us. And I think that we're going to need to have that motivated a bit. So if you could. Jim?
Okay, LaVarn, I faxed a copy of the PMB budget. Did you get that?
May I answer, Madam Chair?
Well, you can. I'm going to also open up my copies of the budget. I think it would be helpful if, look, somebody needs to mute. I'm not going to keep yelling over this noise. Who's not muting? All right. We cannot listen to you wash your dishes. That is not a reasonable expectation. Please be considerate. Okay. So moving forward, I would like to have Jim explain the situation so the whole committee knows what we're talking about, and this isn't just a private conversation between Jim and LaVarn. So, Jim, could you talk us through what happened and what your concern is?
Okay. In going through the budget process, when we presented our budget, there were three changes made to the budget by this committee.
Mm-hmm.
There was supposed to be changed on the template, and that final budget format went to the PNB for approval.
Right.
I'm looking at page 4 of our $1 million budget, and it says that our total programming expenses are $6,320,755.
Okay.
That can't work as a part of a $1 million budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying, we try to submit this along with, we try to put together a grant in which they requested a final budget for KPFT. And in going through this, I had not even looked at this after it came back from the PNB. I made the assumption that the corrections had been made as it came out of committee. That was my fault.
Okay.
So what we'd like to do is find out, was this a calculator in the Excel spreadsheet? Was,
mm-hmm.
What happened? And if it just needs to be whited out and put in the correct amount, we'll do that.
Okay.
But it seems like if this is the problem with KPFT, there may be some line-to-line problems with the other budgets that went from the committee and that were passed by the PMB.
Okay, Jim, I'm going to address this quickly, which is to say when you say came back from the PNB. Can you clarify a bit? Because I have what was brought to the PNB, and I believe that what came back from the national office. So my question to you is, what is the document that came back? Because the document that I have in front of me has nowhere near the numbers in it that you are talking about, and that is the number the NFC brought to the PNB and the PNB passed. So I think what you may be talking about is a typo in what you got back from the national office.
This is LaVarn. May I answer?
Can I get an answer from Jim? And then I will call on you. Jim?
I'm looking at page 4, line 161 of a document called the Pacific Foundation KPFT FY 2012 budget.
Okay. I don't have that document. Okay. So that's what came to you after the budgets were input and blah, blah, blah. Okay. LaVarne?
Yeah, this is LaVarne. It's very simple. First is that when you are submitting documents for grants, you are, Dwayne should with me, because basically what I do in this case is clean it up and make it look really nice versus just this format that has all the details with it also. But on that line, there's an error on the sum. It was supposed to sum from 140 to, instead it summed from 14 to 160. So on the spreadsheet, I'm sending it back to you now. I corrected that. I renamed the file. And to do a summary or submission for a grant, information basically that you need would be the top part, the summary part that shows the revenue, the major administrative program and expense, and then down to the net income. So that's basically the sheet that you would submit along with the request for a grant. And the details we would leave off. But I'm sending it back to you, Jim. And that's what it was. And going through and making sure the numbers were correct, the sum of that category was supposed to, again, be from 140 to 160. Instead, it was 14 to 160. And that's how you got $6,322,755. So it's coming back to you right now.
Was that an automatic calculation?
The reason why it was put in there is that you're doing checks on the numbers, but the wrong formula was put in. So when we got the budget back, basically, you know, you do a recheck on the numbers, and then the wrong number was hit, the wrong formula was put, with the wrong line number was put in. It should have been 140, instead it was 14. So it added everything incorrect.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Is there anything more that we have to do about this?
I guess the only question is, this budget is probably several places in the system. It'll be used, I don't know, by KPFT and other stations and the auditor and whatever. Can we make the assumption that there is one budget passed by the PNB for KPFT?
If you look at your total, the net income at the top where the summary is, the net income is 16209, and this particular format does not have, at the very end on page 4.
LaVarne, I think what Jim is asking is he's asking if you could prepare another final budget document for KPFT that does not have the error in it so they can replace any documents they may have with incorrect formulas floating around. Is that right, Jim?
What I told him is that I've done that, and that what I was explaining to him is that that number did not calculate into any of the totals, because the sheet that we're looking at, the fourth page is not a summary of all the other pages. The summary budget is on the first page which shows the revenue, it shows the program expenses, development. So it doesn't calculate into the other numbers.
Okay. I'm going to intervene here because there's only so much conversation we can have about a document that most of us can't see. I mean, it's too hard for other people to follow. It may be that the two of you need to go over this a bit. I think in the long run, we should have the final approved budgets less any confidential info posted so that it's, you know, easier to access the information. And it's in one place where it's authoritative, but I guess that's not quite here yet.
No, it is. That's the point I made earlier. That's the one that Otis set up for Pacifica. So all of that information, unless he's still transferring it to the new site, that information was there, and that
will be there, and it will be authoritative, and it will be accessible. Good.
Yeah, there. Uh-huh.
That will help.
But we're moving to another site, so I have to check and see.
Okay. Well, make sure to let all of the treasurers and all of us know where these documents are and that they're there, because I don't think people know that they're there. And that way we know where the authoritative copies of our budgets are, and that's helpful. Okay. Jim, anything else? Lavarna, anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Then with that, we're going to hand things over to R. Paul Martin for the first quarter, quarter and a half, maybe almost getting to the second quarter, I'm not sure, financial review for WBAI. And we're going to try to keep this to 15 minutes, which will take us to about 7:15 Pacific, 10:15 Eastern. You're up, R. Paul.
Okay, hold one second. I gotta move a plate around. All right, a lot of stuff on paper here. Thing this is based on is the spreadsheet. The spreadsheet that was put out with the first quarter of FY12. It's the preliminary income statement for the 3 months ending December 31st, 2011. I think we all have that because I think we got it all posted. All right. One of the first things is on the spreadsheet, it says for the first 3 months there, it says October, November, December, 2011, should be 2012, should be 2011. So people brought that up. I brought it up here. Okay. We had a number of questions on this, and we've put them to management, and we've got some other things going on here. To start out with line, I'm going to go by the Excel spreadsheet line numbers. And line 10, listed support, was low, missed budget by 13,607. It's only about 1.8% off. I asked management about it, and management told us that pledges were short by $42,000 in the fall, which is like 5%, and $40,000 in December, which is about 20%. And so all of that together is really $82,000 off what they had been planning on. And so with that, the net turns out to be $13,600. I know that we've been... In the past 2 years, our fall on-air fundraiser has stumbled a bit, and why that is an open question at this point in time. Next, on line 11, donations were short by $31,000 and change. Management doesn't have a real answer for this, for why this went that way. The general manager thinks maybe it's just hard times and people donate that much. Line 12, Community Events Crafts Fair. It was short by $25,555, which is 38% short, which is serious. And this is the Saturday morning ticket sales at WBAI, which some of which tends to... the income and the expenses on this item tend to move back and forth a bit, and you have to look at diagonal lines in the spreadsheet sometimes to link things up. And
point of information. I'm sorry for interrupting. I don't mean to be rude. Can you give me the name of the document you're referring to?
PNL_2012_FY2012_1ST_2.
Okay, thank you. I'll try to find it.
Okay.
Ken, point of information, that's the document we were looking at today.
Okay.
Okay. So this is the thing with our Saturday morning ticket sales, and general manager says it goes up and down, And I asked if we were too optimistic on this, and he says he doesn't think we were too optimistic. The person who does this was away for a few weekends, so some of those Saturday mornings he wasn't there, and therefore we didn't have the tickets sold at all. So that could do it. That could be the wrench in there, a few weeks of that, and yeah, it's going to blow out your plans, because we planned on all of these weeks, 52 weeks of this. So if you suddenly miss it the first quarter, 3 or 4 weeks, yeah, that's going to make a hole. So we'll have to see how this goes for the rest of the year, see if we make it up or if we just hold even to the plans on a prorated way. For the other community events, we did fewer events. There had been an event planned with George Galloway that never happened, and I think some energy is getting sapped on some things. So these community events always take a lot of energy, and sometimes the steam runs out. Going to expenses, administrative expenses on line 23 were higher by basically $40,000, which is 25% higher than budgeted. And I asked if this is going to continue through the rest of FY12. And the general manager said this was the result of consultants. Consultants were budgeted at zero. And instead, they're $29,000. Part of what's happening is BAI is reclassifying just about, the vast bulk of consultants. We've had people in as consultants, and they're being reclassified as paid staff. So they're going to get W-2s instead of 1099s. The move to make this transition has been ongoing. I've seen some of the paper on it. It's been ongoing for some months, and it's not done yet. And in the first quarter there, the consultants line kind of bit us a bit. How this is going to work in terms of are we going to get hit with some of this in salary and benefits and stuff? We got to see how that's going to go. I think we budgeted enough for that, but as consultants on there, it's causing a problem in that particular line. It had been thought this would be done by now. It's not done yet. And also for admin, rent, lease of equipment, and utilities and telephone were all $5,000 higher than expected. The rent and programming expenses. Okay, I'm reading another line here. Yes, basically and our telephone thing. We still have two telephone systems. This has not been reconciled yet. It's been at least 2 years, and so we're hoping this will get fixed. Line 24, programming expenses, was $31,000 higher, 21% higher than budgeted. And tower rent, line 123? I have my computer glasses on here. Hold on. Instead of my, 123, tower expense. That's the Empire State Building, the infamous tower rent. That was $28,000 higher than expected, and management says we paid outstanding bills from last year, and the increased amount is higher than projected. I think that WBAI management has not seen the lease document for the Empire State Building, and it would probably be good if they were familiarized with that. Regarding some of how this works, for FY11, WBAI spent a large amount of money over the regular rental stuff on the tower rent because we had late payments. And I think it would be very good if that could be turned into a pure bill back where the national office would just automatically pay it on time every month and then bill it back to BAI, because by doing that, we would save on the order of $90,000 a year, because the overages were that huge. And so I think that might be a good way to do it, instead of, you know, leaving it to BAI management to try and fill that gap of money and getting behind by a month and having penalties trip every 10 days or whatever it is. It would be good if we got it paid right on time, and, you know, it would, in the long run, make us money. It'd be like investing and getting a huge return. Okay. Next, line 25, development expenses was $15,000 higher, about 16%. And we're told that the reason for this was premiums. Premiums bought from third-party vendors. And that was $18,000 higher than expected. So that ate up something else that we thought we were going to do better on. So the third-party vendors for some of these premiums is getting into us here. Marketing and promotion were $8,000 higher than expected. On line 90, consultants, we've already gone over this. And, okay, so... line 90 is the consultants, and it's the whole thing of they're still transitioning them into being paid staff. Okay, I asked about lines 170, 171, 172, which are the capital items, and it's $5,000 over. And manager says, we bought tables to refurnish the room next to the main studio. We bought 3 computers and printers to upgrade the news department and other places. We fixed our Comrex. We bought recording equipment and microphones. I know that BAI we had a problem with, like, gee, it's a radio station. We don't have microphones. You know, we had, like, I think it was 1 or 2 microphones around that we could use. Whoops. And anyway, so those are the main things. And the thing is that, again, this is sort of like what I've said before, BAI has been sort of doing a bit better than it has in the past, but it's not doing better enough given the expenses and the fact that it's not self-sustaining. At the current rate, if we improve at this same small rate, it will take us years to break even. And I don't think we have years to break even. And something's gotta be done about this. There are also to sort of get ahead into the second quarter a tiny bit. We did have a report from management that the WBAI winter on-air fundraiser was very successful, went over the tally, over the goal, and the final tally is about $920,000. Now, that's the final tally, not the final tally. Final tally is what's in a book that's kept, you know, on the run. Final tally is what happens when the business manager goes over that book and the data entry and really renders it down, and that's usually a lower number than final tally. But still, we went over. Our tally was higher than our goal was, so that's a good thing. Some of a problem is a lot of the premiums. We are premium-driven. We are just tremendously premium-driven at WBAI. And some of the premiums are troublesome. Just about everybody has problems with some of the premiums. We have cancer cures. We have cures for everything in the world. We have some interesting conspiracy things that are up there. We have something called double helix water that was being marketed that some people in the world market as their product, and that was one of our premiums. And some of us find some of these claims for these premiums to be very questionable. Someone in a New York radio bulletin board, not related to BAI, just a general bulletin board, New York Radio, got incensed over some of this and is threatening to complain to the authorities regarding fraud on the air, which, you know, could be a big problem. And so we did do better than goal, but there's questions about, you know, are we serving the listeners really with some of this? And in the long term, are we building audience or are we doing something different from building audience? And those are serious questions, and it probably needs a dialogue at WBAI, and we need to discuss this and see what we can do to change things and raise money in a way that isn't doesn't look to some of us like it's short range and dangerous. And that's my report.
Thank you very much. Okay, we will go to questions from the rest of the committee. Alex Steinberg isn't here, so we don't have any PNB member commentary.
I have a question.
Okay, is there anybody else on to put on the stack?
Barnes.
Okay, anybody? Who was that?
Kim.
Kim, okay. So Kim. We'll go Barb. Okay, anybody else? Okay, so we'll start with Barbara, then LaVar and Kim Campbell.
I just wanted to clarify what you just said, R. Paul, about there was some accusation of fraud on the air about the premiums. Is that what you were saying?
No. I'm saying that it has been – there are bulletin boards of all sorts, you know, and there are –
Are you talking about email type or electronic or
– Web. You know, web things where you
okay.
go up and you post. Anybody can
right.
post anything in the world they please. And this particular board has a theme of New York City radio. And WBAI doesn't get discussed much on it, but somebody went up and was very incensed at some of the premiums and was making saying that they were going to go to the authorities about this,
mm-hmm.
about some of the premiums. So it wasn't on. Nobody said on the air, "I'm going to the authorities" or anything. But some listener, some total person that's not, you know, connected directly with BAI, said this on a bulletin board. That's it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, LaVon, you're next.
Hello. Thank you, R. Paul, for the report. I think that was very well done. Just a couple of points about the report. You were talking about the tower rent, and we believe we're over budget. Now, I know we do a reconciliation at the national office, or the request is for the fiscal director to do a reconciliation on the tower rent. So I will pull that up and send that to you, because in the reconciliation on a monthly basis, what we do is we accrue the tower rent each month. So that expense is shown for that month. And so therefore, each month will not be, it will not show that there was no rent paid. Although the cash was not, we didn't actually pay it. The cash was not, because of the cash shortfall, it was not paid, but it was accrued. So any doubling of rent in the next fiscal year should not be there. Now, there could have been an entry at the end of September due to the fact that the rent is, there is a gap policy on, or that was changed in like 2009 on the, on actually how you treat a long-term lease contract. So what we'll do is we'll look at that, but no, there should not have been a doubling or paying 2 months of rent, or there shouldn't have been an accrual in expense. What could have happened is that the accrual was kind of reversed. So we will definitely look at that at this quarter end and look at the reconciliation that was done at the end of September. And the other point that you had made about trying to avoid the heavy penalty in paying the rent late and how the national office could pay that. Well, the national office does not have reserves, and in fact, we owe Democracy Now! Over $1 million. So we would love to be able to do that, but we have been, any reserves or anything that we've had to first to use that to pay salaries for the stations. In some case with WBAI, could not make the payroll. are the benefits, like with WPFW, we paid the benefits all last year. So the priorities are benefits and payroll, and we just do not have the reserves to pay the rent and to make sure it's paid on time, so that we're not getting hit with these huge late payments.
I'm just going to make a reminder that we are in open session, and therefore major payable specific conversation is really not appropriate. Thank you.
This information is actually in our audit in terms of our major payable.
Okay. We are going to move the stack to Kim, followed by Campbell.
Let me try and understand this. WBAI is hiring more employees?
It's converting. We had a number of consultants, and they are now being converted into paid staff.
Why?
So these are people who were de facto on payroll, and now they're being turned into actual paid staff instead of consultants. They're getting instead of 1099s.
What?
Okay, I'm going to interject here, Kim. We have talked about the fact that there are specific IRS regulations regarding the proper use of consultants vis-a-vis employees. There were some areas in the network where that apparently had not been clear, and there were some individuals in several stations who were going to be transferred from consultant status to employee status, because that is the correct status. And I believe WBAI was one of those stations where those efforts were underway.
Yeah, sorry if I wasn't clear. I've been up for 2 days. So.
Sorry.
Okay, I think Campbell's next on the stack.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Let me ask a question, if I may, and trust this won't be a problem. If it is, just don't answer. In terms of changing consultants to paid staff, do they go into a bargaining unit now?
I believe that at least most of them do. I think I'm not sure of exactly how much each person is doing or what.
Darlene.
Oops. Does somebody want to preempt this answer?
I'm guessing that's the case. So why don't we let
Darlene project? We can just go past that.
Campbell, why don't you let Arlene answer it in the way she
feels? Okay, sure.
Let's go back to you.
Sure, real quickly. If they were working 50% or more and in a position that should be in the bargaining unit, then yes, they go into the bargaining unit. If not, no.
Okay, thank you.
That's one of the issues, actually, that some of these people should have been in the bargaining unit, and they weren't, because they weren't classified as employees.
Yes.
Yeah, there are a number of things, I guess, that result from that you're probably dealing with at present, so there's no point in my asking a question about it. With regard to the premiums that you indicated some question about, are they available elsewhere in the market, New York or you know, otherwise, and is there any, I would say, independent kind of, information that we have with regard to their usefulness or risk?
To answer the first part, as far as I know, most of these premiums I was talking about are available online. They're mostly being sold online by people. That's most, maybe all or almost all. I don't have a precise number on that, but yeah, these things are being sold by people. As regards their efficacy, It's kind of varied, and I don't think there's anyone. I know that in some of the most controversial ones, I've personally not seen any, quote, verification, unquote, of their efficacy outside of the people who are selling them.
Okay. Does that include the offering of them as premiums in terms of that efficacy? And I guess the question really relates to and you can answer it if you'd like, risk. Paul?
I'm not quite understanding the beginning of the question.
Okay. Just efficacy is one thing, and certainly if that is established by any known labs or whatever like that, or by extensive usage in the market or whatever, that's kind of comfortable. But if we're talking about snake oil that I happen to be making in my basement, then I think you might have a second or third thought about it, or maybe we just don't know. That's you can answer or not as you prefer.
I would have to say, well, to be honest, I have referred to some of this stuff as snake oil myself. Now, this may be something people will yell at me for. I've said that. There are things which are making – there are premiums for which claims are made, which I, as not a medical doctor or anything like that, as just a person who, has been around for a few years and has read a thing or two, I immediately say – oh, really? And, I don't see proof of some rather extravagant claims. I don't think there is anybody at WBAI who is curing cancer at this time. All right? That's a statement right there.
Okay,
and,
thank
you. So,
that's
back.
Good news. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, so I think we have arrived at the end of the questions. Is there anyone who would like a second shot? Okay. It sounds like Kim.
Well,
Kim, are you?
I just say,
okay.
What are you going to do about it? I don't have the answer, but,
Well, that's not a question. Or, Paul, do you want to respond to that or not?
What are we going to do about it?
Yeah, it's not a question he can answer. I'm asking it to the group. But
the
need to put
group is willing to entertain this as an agenda item in a future meeting, but not right now because it's 7:30 and it's not on the agenda. Sorry. Paul, do you want to address the comment or not?
I could address it very fast. What to do is a big question because, again, we're doing better than we used to because of this type of premium, and we're kind of caught in like you're sliding down a sharp blade. You're not getting cut all at once, but you're sliding down an edge, and you're getting cut as you slide. Without these premiums, we would not make as much money as we do. Taking the premiums, some of us think we're driving away listeners who are more discerning than some others.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have evidence that there's a big turnover in this type of premium.
Right.
So, so it's sort of like we're riding the bull, but we're still on it, but we want to get off, but we can't figure out how to get off without getting hurt.
Can I? That wasn't really my question, R. Paul. I mean, I could say certainly KPFK has the same problem, and I think that you know, you we need to run that problem.
Point of order here. We're getting into a discussion of something that's not on the agenda. I think it's fine to talk about.
Ken, that's correct. Ken, I'm the chair. That's correct. I'm going to let Kim make a follow-up comment. I told her that it wasn't on the agenda. So let's just let Kim make her follow-up comment, and then we'll pretty much stop there.
Okay. I understand it's not on the agenda, but my question really was the bigger picture of, you know, like the big picture of what are we going to do about WBAI. And it does seem that expenses are increasing and in a way that I'm not comfortable with.
At this point, what you are doing is you are addressing the treasurer and asking the treasurer to answer the question.
I can
have ARPAL do that, but if you don't want an answer from ARPAL, then this is an agenda item for another meeting, and I will introduce it as such. So do you want an answer from ARPAL, or are you just putting this up as an agenda item?
Either or. Whatever the group
wants.
You need
to clarify. Which one is it?
I don't care.
Well, I'll answer a very short answer.
All right.
Which I hope is, you know, taken as an answer. Very, very succinctly, WBAI is a radio station. In terms of dealing with money, it has to be run like a business. The radio station has one product, and we are not able to get people to, for lack of a better word, pay for that product. So maybe we need to look at our product and do something about it. That's it.
Thank you. All right. We will agendize WBAI again in the future. I think that is fine to do. I want to be clear that WPFW and KPFK were further off budget. So that is the reason that the committee is taking on the priorities that it is taking on in the order that it is taking on. And we can't do everything at once. We can only do one thing at a time.
Well, one comment. I would just like to let it be known that WBAI should monitor expenses better than it's doing until we can do something about it.
We have been through this conversation numerous times. The primary expenses that WBAI would need to control are difficult for WBAI to control because they're fixed. But that said, within reason, of course, and within what is possible. The problems there are a little bit beyond, you know, what can be monitored. Okay. At this point in time, we've been meeting for 2 hours. We do have one final agenda item. I would like to try to get through it because it was postponed from the previous meeting, and continuing to postpone things for weeks on end is, in general, not a good practice. So can I persuade all of you to hang around for 10 or 15 more minutes? Or is there going to be an insurrection?
No.
I'm fine.
Was that a no? Okay. All right. So it's interesting that we had such an extensive conversation about confidentiality, since that's the subject that we're talking about, and perhaps the one conversation will inform the other that could be, and that could be helpful. So as we know, some weeks ago at the in-person meeting, it came to my attention that emails were flying around in which one member of this committee was copied, which were discussing the contents of the closed sessions of this meeting, of this committee, and that was, of course, problematic. The particular emails flying around had to do with content that would be published in a board faction newsletter that was nominally being sent out to listeners. And of course, that is not the purpose of the NFC, nor the purpose of our presence here on the NFC, to support the newsletter content for board factions. So we did have a fairly significant discussion on this subject, and unfortunately we were unable, it seemed to me, to come to an agreed upon understanding of what the confidentiality standards are or should be, and what the nature of the violation was, and how we would go forward. Given that,
we did.
Oops, Sorry, that kind of echoed back. Okay.
Okay.
Given that, we did a little...
Jesus.
Hold on a sec. Hopefully this will be better. So given that we did a bit of a review of sort of what the parameters are for a committee, and the parameters are basically that the committee can simply make a recommendation regarding an action to the full board, but that we have no disciplinary capacity within ourselves, which makes perfect sense because we're a committee and why would we? And no committees do really that I'm aware of. So that said, we have pretty much been avoiding meeting in executive session, which of course has solved the problem because if we're not in executive session, then the contents of the meeting are streamed and therefore they're not confidential. Anybody can listen to them and anybody can put them in a newsletter if it makes them happy. However, sooner or later in the budgetary process and in fact in these meetings coming up that we'll be talking about actions that may be necessary to come into compliance with budgets, we will be meeting in closed session and we will be having conversations that, of course, cannot appear in newsletters. So it seems to me that at this point in time, we can't postpone this conversation any longer in terms of a recommendation for how we're going to deal with this going forward. I had asked Barbara, and I think people saw the email request to send a copy of the particular email in question with all the headers and everything else so that people had it in front of them. We had received kind of a paraphrase of the text, but not the recipient list and, you know, the whole formal email because it's always good to talk in concretes and specifics. And, of course, my acquaintanceship with it was fairly brief, so if there's something I've got wrong, you know, that should be clear. I don't think it's been sent, so the first question would be whether or not it can be or will be, and then the second thing that I would have to open up would be recommendations from the committee about how we are going to deal with this going forward, and there are two of them. One would be short-term things that we would do, and then the second item would be whether or not there is something that we need to bring to the PNB in order to deal with our dilemma. My hope was that we would come to a common agreement on confidentiality and this will never happen again and be able to go forward from there. But my recollection of the previous conversation is that's not where we ended up. So we have to go from where we are. So at that point, I will open up the stack for conversation. And let's see, 7:34, and we'll see how far we can get in about 10 minutes. And I realize that this topic might take longer than that, but we'll go for about 10 minutes and then see where we are. Who's on the stack?
Well, I'd like to answer your
of course, yeah.
Email that you sent today saying that I had said I would forward the whole email, and I never said that I would do that.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I'm sorry.
And also, as far as the recipient list that was on this email that you saw on somebody else's computer, mm-hmm. I did not create the recipient list. So mm-hmm. I am not going to send you guys anything more than what I sent. And what I sent was every word that I had put in the email. I did not paraphrase anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it pretty strange that you persist in talking about this in open session. There are things that I would say, but I don't think I would say them in open session. The last discussion that we had about this, Kim asked me what my recommendation would be to resolve this. And I could talk about that, but I don't think it's appropriate on open session.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see what other folks have to say. Kim, I hear you for the stack. Is there anyone else? Who wants to be on the stack?
Ken.
Okay, Ken. Anybody else?
Campbell.
Anybody else? Okay. Kim, you're up.
Well, I would suggest if Barbara feels more comfortable, absolutely we should go to closed session. I mean, that's
Yeah, that's certainly possible. Okay, Ken, go ahead.
You know.
We'll cut through the staff, and then we'll make a decision about that. It does, you know, make the meeting go on longer.
Thanks. If closed session helps us get this resolved, let's go to closed session.
Okay, Campbell, and then we'll make the closed decision.
I had to leave the call for a while for another call that I was on, but it seems as though we're back at a place where we were a couple of weeks ago, and I think that the best thing that can be done is to just, you know, let's get over it and move forward. And if there's something that you want to present to the PMB, do so. And when I came back on here, I came on in time to hear our chair say that there's no particular actions that a committee could take. However, it was interesting that I had seen I was on the call when a task force decided to take a particular punitive action.
Let's stay on subject, Campbell. Let's stay. No, it is not, and task forces and committees have different roles, and no, it is not. But that said, I meant long term. Yeah, a committee can certainly do something temporary until something else is acted upon.
And the task force did something also that I think was totally out of its authority.
Okay.
So I think that we ought to just get over this and move forward and not carry our little bitternesses around with us.
We're not discussing bitterness, Campbell. We're discussing something that occurred.
Show me the difference.
Not get confused.
I make a motion.
I'm not confused. No.
I make a motion. We go to closed session.
Second.
Yikes. Okay. Well, it's 7:38. I guess we will be meeting until about 8 p.m. Pacific. We do have a closed session number. Is there anyone on the meeting who doesn't have access to the closed session number? Okay, then I will see you all on the other side, and we have a motion to adjourn this meeting and move into closed session. That's what we will do. Good night, everyone.
Is there an objection? Ask if there's an objection.
I guess
everybody leaving means dissent.
Yeah, I guess if they objected, they just hung up, went away. See you on the other side.